Golf Today on a Wednesday. Damon Hack alongside Eamon Lynch, Golf Week Magazine. We've got college golf coming up in just 2 hours, then professional golf on the tube tonight.
It's a pretty full, you know, menu for a Wednesday out there. A little live golf every direction we look. Just pour yourself a little glass of wine tonight and settle in at 11 p.m.
Maybe two glasses for me. The PGA Tour back in Japan this week for the Zozo Championship. Limited field event, one of three straight tournaments held outside the United States on the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup fall schedule. Hideki Matsuyama won this event, you may recall, in his homeland back in 2021. Also scheduled to play Xander Schauffele, defending champ Colin Morikawa, and Ricky Fowler, all of whom have Japanese ancestry. How about a look at the odds to win via DraftKings? You see Xander Schauffele, what a year he's already had. Colin Morikawa won here last year. Hideki the champ in 2021. Sungjae, always game. Sahith, a PGA Tour winner. Justin Thomas has many wins in Asia. Kurt Kitayama, past winner at Bay Hill, and the International Presidents Cup team member Minwoo Lee.
The defending champion was asked to reminisce about that victory a year ago.
What sticks out in your memory from the win last year?
It was my first win in 2 years, and look, winning's tough. I mean, no matter what it is, winning is tough. You have to learn how to win, and it came, I wouldn't say easy, but it came in a few bunches early on in my career. So just being able to close that out on Sunday, knowing that, you know, I had a good first round, struggled a little bit, second round, came through in the third round, and then ultimately played really, really good in the fourth round. A lot of things stick out, but just being able to win again and being, you know, on top of that leaderboard at the end of Sunday, I mean, that's everything to me. And that's like, you know, you look back at a season, I look back at this season, I haven't won. I mean, I've had a solid year, but I haven't won. And, you know, I've got one more opportunity at that.
You were quite emotional at the presentation ceremony last year. Did that surprise you that you came out like that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm not that emotional of a guy. I think just an accumulation of a lot of things, being in Japan, you know, having family history here, winning a tournament for the first time in a couple of years, having my wife, Kat, there, you know, just all the hard work you put into it. I mean, it's nonstop hours, nonstop minutes, just always thinking about how to get better. And that's what's amazing about this game and what is frustrating at some other times. And no matter what, you know, you always come out of it just loving what we do. And I'm very lucky to be doing this.
And Colin gets his first round underway tonight, 9:35 p.m. Eastern, alongside Sahith Theegala and Will Zalatoris, three PGA Tour winners, all with ties to the state of California, by the way. Reminder, coverage begins 11 p.m. Eastern right here on Golf Channel. I'll never forget speaking to Colin at the Masters this year. He's just gotten back with his childhood coach, Rick Sessinghouse, and started to see things come together. Said he was starting to play with kind of an uncluttered mind, and he's played very well, even though he hasn't won this season. Was 4-1 at the President's Cup. It was an absolute rock for the United States.
Technically, he hasn't won.
Oh, but I know where you're going. Atlanta, maybe?
Yes, at the Tour Championship. If you look at the official World Golf Rankings, he is credited with a victory at the Tour Championship. He finished four strokes back of Scottie Scheffler.
Yes.
But with a staggered scoring system, which the World Golf Ranking does not acknowledge, he is credited with that victory. But it is a sign of how well he's played. Top 20 in every major championship that's been played this year. And where you see the real difference with Colin Morikawa is at the business end of the hole. We know the guy hits it closer to the hole on average than pretty much anyone else who's out there week in, week out. If you went back 3 years ago, he was 178th on tour in strokes gained putting. He got it up to 131st in 22, got it up to 114th last year. And that's when he started working with Stephen Sweeney, the putting coach who's based in West Palm Beach in Florida, who works with guys like Shane Lowry and a bunch of other guys. He's currently 61st on tour. And to me, that indicates how good a ball striker he is when you can be 61st and put yourself in the mix as often as Colin Morikawa does. He really is one of the most consistent performers in the game this year, even if technically he's considered to not have a victory.
He's also trying to be free of thought. I remember speaking to him at the Masters. He said he had just kind of arrived, didn't really know where his game was. He ended up finishing tied for third. We were asking him in the media, you know, what's kind of the swing thought that's carrying you? And he says, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to get into that. And I think he even said with Rick Sessinghouse, he's just trying to play golf. he's not trying to have too many thoughts. And I think when he was working with Mark Blackburn for that time last year, he was trying to incorporate some things. And Colin will tell you that he did learn some things about the golf swing. But he thinks he plays his best golf when he's not thinking about positions or incorporating details into his game.
That really is a dangerous time for guys, isn't it, when they start searching for something that perhaps they don't need to search for. And sometimes you just try to get back to base camp, where you started. Not always easy to get back there, though.
Doesn't he look like a stalwart, though? Someone that we're going to see year after year, hopefully battling the likes of Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele.
He really does. You know, he had a very hot start to his career when he won the first PGA Championship he ever played. He won the first Open Championship he ever played. That's kind of hard pace.
How do you maintain that pace
out there? But the putter did look like a real weakness for him out there for a couple of years. And it looked as though that all the great ball striking was going to wear on him. He was starting to look like a little Sergio Garcia. When you hit the ball that well but can't actually get it in the hole, it kind of wears on you after a while. And it certainly soured Garcia over the years. It looked as though Morikawa was starting to feel that frustration, the early days of that as well. But the work he's done with Sweeney has made him a much more reliable putter. And the statistics back that up.
Yeah, made a lot of putts at Royal Montreal as well. And a reminder that coverage begins tonight on Golf Channel. You can catch all four rounds starting at 11 p.m. Eastern each night. Looking forward to some golf in Japan.
Well, our latest winner on the PGA Tour is joining us shortly. The Postman. He delivered in Vegas at the weekend, and it's always nice if you can leave that town with more money than you arrived. JT Poston coming up.
And the winner himself, JT Poston, joins us now. Congratulations, your caddy Aaron said, hey, ain't no party like a Vegas party. Give us some details. Blackjack, steak, dinner, wine, what was it like?
Man, it was a lot of fun. We went out and had a big dinner, big celebration, bunch of drinks. And at that point, I just kind of followed Aaron's lead. We were just bouncing around, played a little blackjack late in the night. He's good buddies with Dustin Lynch, who happened to be performing at Excess in the Wynn. And so we went and caught up with them after dinner, and we just had a blast and celebrated accordingly, for sure.
Man, following the caddy's lead in Vegas is the kind of thing that can get many a guy into trouble out there, JT. When you arrived in town, you hadn't been playing your best golf for a few months, but you had certainly done enough to secure your place in all the signature events next year. You'd finished top 50 in the FedEx Cup. Did you feel as though you were a little bit freer going to Vegas, because a lot of guys go there and they're still trying to secure some kind of status for next year, where you had actually secured your status?
Yeah, a little bit for sure. I was fortunate enough to have a good bit of time off. I think we had about 7 weeks off between BMW and there. And it was just the sort of mental reset that I think I needed. The results obviously weren't there. I was grinding. I was working on it. But I think sometimes you just need to kind of take a step away. And I was able to do that and kind of went into it with not too many expectations and just kind of honestly trying to see where the game was in a tournament atmosphere, and was obviously fortunate enough it was in a good spot and able to take advantage of the week.
JT, you have a reputation as being one of the best putters on the PGA Tour. I saw that silky stroke in Austin during the match play when we chatted a couple of seasons ago, but you've been gaining distance according to our Rex Hoggard. What has that process been like, adding some length off the tee?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an area of my game that I feel like I have a good bit of room to improve. The game's only getting longer and guys hit it further, and distance is certainly an advantage. And it's something that, you know, I feel like I've kind of been known for my, you know, game around the greens, putting, chipping, and hitting fairways. And so I feel like if I can add some distance, that kind of can help me get to that next level of contending in the big events and things like that. So it's been a focus. I've been trying to spend some time in the gym. It may not look like it physically, but we're trying our best to you know, make some improvements there, and hopefully start seeing more and more of that as the year goes on.
Curious what a winner works on, JT. In terms of swing instructors, you work with John McNeely, one of the great guys in the game, even though John couldn't actually help me when I called upon him. But what exactly does a winner work on? Because it's easy for us to assume that, you just walked off with a trophy. Everything's going great. But guys like you walk away with trophies because you're able to identify what shortcomings are and what areas, even in the good times, that you need to work on. So what do you look at now and think, this is still where I have headroom to improve?
Yeah, I mean, we're always kind of checking even throughout the season, you know, whether it's swing related or is it something like distance or power that I feel like I can improve, or is it short game? We're always kind of taking a look at it. And John, I've known him for so long since I was a kid and worked with him since I was a kid, to the point where he doesn't even necessarily have to be there. I can send him a video or I can even call him and we can talk about, you know, what misses I'm seeing with certain clubs, or, you know, might take a look at the divots. That can always tell you a little bit of something. And so he knows my swing so well. A lot of times he can give me little pointers here and there and I can sort of run with it. But I feel like we do a good job of kind of managing that, where I'm still relying on a lot of my feels and what feels good, what feels right. And it's a lot easier to take that to the golf course and to a tournament when that's the case.
And definitely not John's fault that Eamon is still struggling a bit from time to time in this game. Third win on the PGA Tour, JT, but a baby, your first child in March, a little girl. You know, I think you can go in one of two ways. The game takes off, you got this baby bounce, as it were, or maybe you kind of lose a little fire when you start having that growing family. You know, how do you kind of balance the joy of fatherhood while staying hungry inside the ropes?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just a matter of figuring out what worked best for us, for my wife and I. And obviously, she's the center of our world. She was always the first priority, and that was okay. And it just took us a little bit of time to kind of figure out what that balance looked like. How was I going to be able to still get out and practice and do what I needed to do? And just had to, you know, learn to be a little more productive with my time, go out and practice when she's down for a nap, and, you know, make sure I'm still around helping out when she's up and moving around. So I feel like we've done a good job of managing that, and it's still a learning curve. I'm sure we're going to keep learning as we go, but I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Is it tougher to leave home when you have a new kid, JT, to go back out to work on weeks where the family are staying behind?
A little bit. It's you know, you feel a little guilty taking off when at times it can be tough, and at times you also feel like you're going to miss something. I mean, when she's that young, I feel like I would go to a tournament and I'd come back a week later and she was doing something completely different. And I always felt like I might miss some of that. But they traveled a good bit, even as young as she is. Anytime we could drive to a tournament, you know, in the Carolinas, we live here in Sea Island. So up and down the East Coast, they would come to some tournaments, and it was always nice to have them on the road and be able to basically leave the golf course and go right back to them. So again, I feel like we've balanced it pretty well and are obviously still learning, but it's been great so far.
Get them on a plane early. That's what we did in our house. JT, we're talking to you toward the end of 2024. When we speak to you at the end of 2025, what would you like to see has happened during the 2025 season? What's your definition of success?
Yeah, I'd like to see this win kind of propel me to a different sort of level of my career, where I'm contending in some big events. You know, I'd love to have my name in the hat for that U.S. Ryder Cup team. I know I've got a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of great American players, but I still believe that, you know, my best golf is capable of producing great results and having a shot at that team. So I would love to contend in the big events, the majors, the signature events, and obviously have my name at least in the conversation for that U.S. team.
JT, your victories secure your status for at least the next couple of years on the PGA Tour. There is a proposal that the policy board's going to vote on in a few weeks that would reduce the number of cards from 125 down to 100 and potentially remove 2 to 3 dozen spots from a full field event. Is that the kind of thing you're supportive of in terms of the direction the tour is going these days?
You know, I honestly don't know that I know enough about... I don't know that I'm educated enough about what they're exactly voting on. I've heard like little rumors and things here and there, but I know at the end of the day that policy board is trying to make the PGA Tour a better place, and they're trying to make it competitive and fair for everybody. And I would like to think and trust that those guys in that room that are voting on that sort of thing, that they're going to take into account everything that they need to. And, you know, I trust those guys. I think they're going to make a good decision. There's plenty of guys in there that some are buddies, some are guys that I don't know as well, but I respect. And I think everybody wants to see the PGA Tour succeed. And I think at the end of the day, that's a great thing.
Well, JT, it was fun watching you do your thing in Vegas. Enjoy the family time, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome back into Golf Today. I'm Eamon Lynch alongside Damon Hack. Some overnight golf coming up in Japan. A lot of the top guys like to take this part of the year off. The field that we're going to see in Japan shows that there are guys out there who are very well known who are still searching.
Searching, tinkering.
Not necessarily finding either.
And that's what's so crazy about this game. Maybe only Scottie Scheffler is truly happy with his game and Xander Schauffele. I mean, even Nelly Korda has had some struggles this season. It just seems like even at the tippy-top levels of this game, they're renting. They're not owning this game. Who's owned this game, really, throughout history?
Gives some hope to the rest of us, doesn't it? But the PGA Tour returns to Japan this week for the Zozo Championship. It's a limited field event and one of three consecutive tournaments that will be held outside the United States on the PGA Tour's FedEx fall schedule. And here are some of the notables in the field. Colin Morikawa, we discussed earlier, the defending champion, but the world number two, Xander Schauffele, is there alongside Ricky Fowler, Max Homa, and of course the hometown hero, Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah, you know, Max Homa, as mentioned, in the field this week, and he's been struggling, as you mentioned, Eamon. Three top tens in 21 starts, went from 15th to 106th in strokes gained tee to green, and 6th to tied for 110th in strokes gained putting, and as you mentioned, dropped to 27th in the official world golf ranking. Here is Max with the media in Japan.
You parted ways with your coach about a month ago. How's your swing feeling, and what's the game plan for this week?
Yeah, it's been about 2 months now, and I'm definitely a little rusty. I took a bit of time off after the President's Cup. It's been nice trying to kind of, you know, I've had some help along the way, but it's been nice trying to figure out and own my own stuff a bit more. The swing feels okay. It's, again, you get a little rusty and you're working on new stuff. It's not really the most fun thing in the world, but at times golf can feel like riding a bike. Especially when you get on a golf course, you're not on the range, you can start seeing shots and feel what's going to work well. This is a good golf course to do that on because the holes are shaped really nicely by the trees. It's definitely been a chaotic few weeks, especially last week getting ready for this. But I've been very happy we got here Sunday and I was happy to have, you know, Monday through Wednesday to get some work in and spend a bunch of time on the course.
And just back to your own game, I mean, when you look back at 2024, how do you assess how you've played and what would you take going forward into 25?
Yeah, I mean, I played terribly, but I am excited for 25 in that a lot of things I wasn't particularly good at to start 24, I did become quite good at. So with another couple months of work and being able to hone in, you know, the things I didn't do well this past season, you know, I still grew in areas, it just didn't show because, you know, didn't drive it well this season, didn't hit it particularly well. So it was a frustrating year, but it doesn't mean that that's always going to be a net negative. It's just you're going to need to do a good job of taking what you did improve on and putting that to good use for the next season when you do play better in the areas you struggled in. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the things I've gotten better at, and I'm just going to continue to work on the things I struggled with last year.
Brutally honest, Max Homa, who even acknowledged in Montreal there may have been people outside of the team room who didn't think I belonged here, but those other 11 guys and the captain believed I did belong here. He went 1-2 for the United States. He did win Sunday singles and hold out on eagle on that first hole. But no doubt he is struggling and he is searching. He's not working with a coach right now. He's been sending videos to his caddy, Joe Greiner, who's a childhood friend, and he's trying to own his swing and kind of figure out his own game.
Yeah, he's definitely in searching mode right now, and I guess it's proof that everything in this game is temporary, including good form, or particularly good form, I suppose. But the numbers do bear out that the ball striking has gone off. And we did look at his tee to green strokes gained numbers, but just even off the tee, measuring the driver, he was 41st on tour last year and he's 161st this year. And the putting is now outside the top 106th last year. That's a really bad combination.
Yeah.
But, you know, if anybody can dig himself out of a hole, it's Max Homa. You go back to 2017, 2018, he missed 30 cuts in those 2 years. 30.
Incredible.
And I don't think he's come anywhere close to that total combined in the years since. So he's a guy who's certainly got the perspective to know that even the bad days are pretty temporary in this game.
We've talked a little bit about his fellow Cal Golden Bear, Colin Morikawa, and I look at the Masters in both Max and Colin, because both of them contended for that green jacket along with Scottie Scheffler and Ludvig Åberg. And that Masters tournament, Colin Morikawa took off. And though he hasn't won this season, played beautiful golf after the Masters. And I kind of figured that Max Homa would do the same thing, and it just didn't happen. That was really his first taste of major championship contention. But it wasn't jet fuel for his game. Instead, he's spent most of this year trying to figure out, you know, where the center of the club face is and making a few more putts. And we showed those stats, and that's a big, big difference from just a year ago.
Well, there's always the hope that things will improve when he gets back to California, because we know he's got a pretty darn good record out there. A couple of wins in Napa. He's won at Torrey Pines as well. Maybe no, that's his territory that he needs to get to.
He does play very well in the state of California. Reminder, you can catch the Zozo Classic. It begins tonight on Golf Channel. You can catch all four rounds, by the way, starting at 11 p.m. Eastern time, including the final round Saturday night at 11 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, back in June of 2022, South Africa's Aldrich Potgieter won the 127th Amateur Championship at Royal Lidham in St. Anne's. The win came about 3 months before his 18th birthday, which made him the second youngest winner in the history of the event. Well, fast forward to 2024, and Potgieter usurped Jason Day as the youngest winner in Korn Ferry Tour history with his victory at the Bahamas Great Abaco Classic at the Abaco Club. He won that title at 19 years, 4 months and 11 days. The victory also made him the fourth teenager with a Korn Ferry Tour victory, joining the PGA Tour winners Day, Akshay Bhatia and Sungjae Im.
And after finishing number 29 on the Korn Ferry Tour points list for 2024, Aldrich secured his PGA Tour card for 2025, part of that celebration. 20 years, 23 days of age, became the second youngest graduate in Korn Ferry Tour history, only trailing Jason Day. He was 19, 11, and 23 upon graduation in 2007. Aldrich, it's great to see you. Congratulations. I love what you said on Sunday at the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. You wanted to know where you stood. You wanted to feel the pressure. Where does that mindset come from?
I mean, it's always been there since the day I started playing, not even just golf, but playing sports growing up. I mean, I'm such a competitive person, and I know most sports, high sports athletes are. And but yeah, it's in the family. And on that Sunday, I wanted to know where I was. And I even told my dad that you need to keep me updated on the scores. And so I know where I'm standing. But unfortunately, he's walking in front, looking at my ball, finding it when I was hitting it a little sideways. But yeah, it's always been there. And I think it's just because I'm so competitive, I always want to know where I'm standing. But yeah, it was an exciting little journey, and glad that I got through that part. And we're out onto the big tour now.
You won early in the year, your second event, Aldrich, but then you had a rough stretch after that. You were 27th, I think, in the points list heading into that final day, that final week on the Korn Ferry Tour. You ended up finishing 29th. What was the pressure like on that Sunday? Were you trying to play defense to hold a position, or were you trying to be aggressive?
Definitely on Sunday, I knew the weather was going to pick up. There was a lot of wind coming for that day. So I was trying to still play aggressive, but also not trying to lose position of where I was standing. I had a look at the leaderboard, and I knew I had two or three guys that I needed to beat for kind of to secure that card for the following year. And I knew that the windy conditions was going to make it hard. And on the first hole, I made like a 30, 40 footer, and I kind of knew it was going to be a good day. And if I didn't make that putt, I don't know where I would be right now. And it just gave me so much momentum, and I kind of knew I had to go play well on that Sunday. And if I was going to walk away with the tour card, that would be great. If it was meant to be for me to play on the Korn Ferry for another year, that's all right as well. But yeah, that putt on the first hole and that warm up, it took a long time that morning to get awake, to get ready and prepared for that long day.
Your resume already is unbelievable. You've shot 59. Everywhere you look, it's the youngest to do this, the second youngest to do that, the third youngest to do this. Why are you so good, so young?
I mean, I'm such a blessed guy from the Lord Jesus and my family. I've got such a great support team around me, and I'm just happy guy to be at wherever I am. I'm always going to be happy and know that I'm blessed. And the support team I have with me, with my management, with my parents and all the family and support that I have, it's just really amazing. And with South Africa, there's so many great names coming out, and you're such a proud person playing for your country. And I'm just happy to be there and represent them. And that's all I can really say.
There were some sentiments earlier this year, Aldrich, that some of the Korn Ferry Tour graduates weren't finding it as easy as perhaps past years to get some starts, at least through the first quarter of the PGA Tour season. Do you have any sense yet what your actual playing schedule is going to look like when you get out there in January?
It is quite hard to have a look this early on. I know European Tour status, the 10 guys, they fall in front of us, and then the five from Q-School go behind us. But it's hard. I finished 29th, so that means 29 guys are going to basically get in to most events before me. So hopefully that me being at a young age and hitting the ball a little further can help with my name, and hopefully the sponsors exemptions and the sponsors will help me get into those events. And we'll see. We'll take it one tournament at a time, and if it goes a little south and I miss a couple of cuts, some people might still believe in me and give me some spots into those events. But we'll kind of see what closer to the dates, what will happen.
You look like you'd be a tough guy to tackle on a rugby pitch. You average 336.5 yards off the tee. That's 8 yards ahead of anybody else on the Korn Ferry Tour. Where does the distance come from? You just swinging hard? Is this just natural, God-given? Where's the distance come from, Aldrich?
I mean, it's basically always been there since a young kid, and I don't know. It's gotten longer and longer, and it's hard with working with Titleist and making sure my equipment is right, because I do go through a couple of heads throughout the year. And it's just always been there, and very fortunate to have it. It's a big key that I can use, hopefully on the PGA Tour, and use it a little bit more there than on the Korn Ferry Tour. It was difficult playing this season on some of the courses we played, where it didn't really help me as much with the courses we played, where I had to lay back a lot off the tee. So hopefully on the PGA Tour, I can use that to my advantage a little bit more.
Now, as we noted, Aldrich, you finished 29th in the points list. There's currently a proposal before the Policy Tour Board to actually remove 10 cards from the Korn Ferry Tour, which means if you'd done that in 2025, you probably wouldn't get a PGA Tour card if that passes. Does that kind of change sit well with you, or do you think it's too much of a squeeze for guys who are trying to graduate from the Korn Ferry Tour?
I mean, the game of golf is changing a lot at the moment, and I know there's a lot of politics going on, and the game of golf is changing in that sense. So, I mean, there's so much thought going into every scenario when it comes to the PGA Tour and European Tour and Korn Ferry Tour and all the other tours we all play at. So it's hard for a player and someone on the outside who don't get all the inside information to kind of make up your mind, because there are some smart people working on that stuff. So, I mean, if they're going to take 10 cards away from the Korn Ferry, then it's going to be harder for the guys to move back up to the PGA Tour, but it might open doors for other people as well to get that opportunity where it wouldn't have been in the past.
Aldrich, you've accomplished so much already. Congratulations and best of luck in 2025.
One of the great characters in this game, coming back to a tour that could use a lot more guys like Harry Higgs. And we're pleased to have Harry Higgs with us here today. Harry, Congratulations on the season that you've had and getting the tour card back. What was your mindset like when you went out on the Corn Ferry Tour at the start of the year? Do you go out there with a little bit of dented confidence from having left the PGA Tour, or do you go out with a determination? Where's the balance between the two?
It'd be impossible to say it's not a bit of both. Probably to start the year, more dented confidence. That's a great way to put it as well. I guess I was fortunate early in the Corn Ferry season. You know, I wasn't certain if I was going to get into some PGA Tour events, which we did not end up into really any of them. So kind of I had to shift to focus my attention on the Corn Ferry Tour. And I got off to a relatively decent start in the early events. And then just used it kind of as an opportunity, right? Saw it as an opportunity. It was okay that I was humbled and get back to work and hopefully get back to playing some good golf. And obviously, as we saw there, I was very fortunate to get back to playing some very good golf, contending to win, fortunate to win a couple, and then lock up my status for next year.
Well, Harry, your buddy Joel Damon said it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when you'd be back on the PGA Tour. He said you are one of the best players in the world. What was your reaction to what Joel had to say?
That's cool. Joel is a friend, but, you know, more of like a brother to me. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to hear. Well, it's always nice to hear nice things about yourself. and it's nice for that to come from somebody that I truly care about and love. Yeah, that meant the world to me. I hope that I'm able to prove that over the next 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it may be. But my goals are to become one of the best players in the world. And I think, you know, being humbled and going about getting knocked off a perch and then, you know, working my way back up to the PGA Tour now, I'm looking forward to the opportunity that I have over the next, certainly the next year, and hopefully the next, we'll call it decade.
You use the phrase being knocked off your perch. We talk to a lot of guys who are moving from the Corn Ferry Tour. Perhaps they've been on tour before, they're going back. And it's a lot of talk about performance. I'm curious about the practicalities, Harry. What's it like going from a tour where, you know, you have courtesy cars and the full resources of the PGA Tour at your disposal to going to a tour? Well, you don't actually have any of that at your disposal.
Yeah, I would say it's a pain in the rear, but it was also fun in some kind of weird way. You know, staying in all new places, figuring out kind of how you're going to do the week-to-week stuff. And then I think I'm, you know, with it on tour, there's a trailer that travels with us every week with all of our fitness equipment. I know it might not look like it, but I do spend time in the gym. I think I probably joined 8 or 10 different gyms in random cities throughout the year. A lot of Corn Ferry events are partnering with gyms, which is awesome and great for us players. But yeah, little things like that, new restaurants. I always said mini tour golf, there was something romantic about it. You were going to small towns, places that you probably will never visit again. And if you can go and experience, you know, what the locals may or may not do there and play basically what would be their local golf course. I'm not calling the Corn Ferry Tour a mini tour. But there was again, something romantic about going and you know, most of these places I'd been to before, but seeing them again, seeing if there was anything interesting to do or if there was a restaurant, that you had to try, go and do that. And then, you know, I still have some guys that have graduated this year that are great friends of mine. So also just spending time with some friends that I hadn't seen in a while. A lot of rental houses with my caddy and some great friends, which turned into, you know, it was a really enjoyable year. It probably, and you know, it's certainly enjoyable because I had some success too. But regardless whether or not I had the results, which I was very fortunate to do, I think I would have looked back on this year pretty fondly. It was fun to get knocked off my perch and to kind of have to go back to the basics and go back to being way more self-reliant versus, you know, out on tour, everything is basically done for you other than the golf. You have to do the golf, but other than that, everything's taken care of for you.
Harry, we interview a lot of players on this show. I interview a lot of players at tournaments. I think it's safe to say that PGA Tour players, pro golfers are kind of introverts by nature.
Sure.
Do you like relish the opportunity to bring some personality to the PGA Tour, which you've done in the past? Are you going to be like pounding cranberry juice and making videos, or are you more serious on the edge of 33 in December?
Yeah, well, edge of 33. Here we go, getting old. Real people stuff. I got married this year. Yeah, this is, we're doing all the real things. I like my time alone. I like my quiet time. But Damon, I think that the only way to answer that question is I really like to talk too. I have a hard time keeping the interviews short and quick. I'm much more of a podcast guy. And then, you know, whomever is interviewing me might have only planned on it being an hour, and they usually get close to two. I can tell stories and I can take a long time to tell them. But I've always just really enjoyed talking and sharing kind of my thoughts. And usually my thoughts bounce around a whole lot, so it takes me a while to get the stories out. But most guys, you know, you get competitive and you get living in your own world. And, you know, everybody can kind of clam up and get quiet. But most guys, when you are out there, if you catch them at the right moment, they are way more willing to talk and share stories. And, you know, hopefully my next year is filled with some success, and then also just catching up with friends I hadn't seen for the better part of a year. So I'm looking forward to that.
Harry, you've talked very candidly in the past about the mental health aspect of this game and how tough it can be out there, even when things are actually going well for professional golfers. Do you feel as though now you're in a strong place in terms of the having the right attitude to the highs and lows of this game, or as right as an attitude can be?
Yes, as right as an attitude could be is probably more aptly put. You know, I thought looking back on this year that I grew and bettered myself both as a person and a player. One of the things that I'm most excited for is going out and playing PGA Tour golf against the best in the world, as certainly as a better golfer, but more so as a better person and somebody that's I'm more able to take care of myself, take care of my mental health, not get so high and low, not get so frustrated. Again, talk is cheap. And when we're in it, you know, starting what, the second week of January next year, you know, I have to put these things into practice as well. But I, this year was used again, get back to the basics and get kind of a blueprint together that lets me have my best chance at success. And certainly, you know, taking better care of myself and those around me, you know, and my mental health, and not get so frustrated and beat myself up and plainly just be nicer to myself. I'm looking forward to the challenge of doing that next year when, you know, in theory, the pressure is ratcheted up even a little bit more.
In a tough moment for so many of us who love this game, when Grayson Murray passed, you challenged people. You know, say something nice to someone you love. Say something nice to someone you don't know. I'm curious, all these months later, has that continued? What's the reaction been to that plea?
Yeah, it was ever present for, I'd say, about a month. And I, you know, selfishly for me, I thought one of the coolest things after the success and then after how I, you know, what I spoke on in trying to remember and honor Grayson, I was being congratulated for not something that I had done on the golf course, for something that I was willing to say. And, you know, again, this is selfishly myself. I was super proud that people would have taken the time to congratulate me on something that I had said, or thanked me for being willing to speak out on it, that, you know, they may also have been struggling with something. Again, I have been super fortunate in my 32, coming up on 33 years on this earth, that the only mental health issues that I've ever really struggled with, if you could even call it that, is just like plainly frustration and at times disappointment in kind of the results of my golf. And then myself personally realizing that don't really focus too much on the results because it's a stupid game that I chose to play, that we all chose to play. Try to focus on the joy and the process and the pursuit versus how did I do today? I was super proud and honored to be congratulated on something that I'd said on a very important topic. And it was nice to be talked to or congratulated on something other than the result of what I chose to do with my life. So very honored. That talk needs to continue to happen. The plea that I made, you know, maybe give myself since then a B plus in being able to say something nice to someone I don't know, say something nice to a loved one, and then also, you know, say something nice to yourself each and every day. Again, this is kind of the whole thing. I'm not perfect at it. I'm not going to be perfect at it, but as long as I keep that in the forefront, and then hopefully, you know, the conversation that we're having and conversations that we'll continue to have, it will continue to stay in the forefront of people's minds. And we could all use some joy, and we could all use some kindness in this world, especially to one another. So, you know, I hope that I continue to have success. If I don't, no big deal. But you know, maybe when it's all said and done and I'm not playing this stupid game anymore, I'll be remembered for somebody that tried to bring joy and kindness to the world. And that would mean the world to me.
Well said, Harry. It's always enjoyable for us to catch up with you. Congrats on a great 2024. We'll see you next year.
Yep. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.